Is the FDA doing careful enough oversight on some of these, products that are being put inside people to ostensibly extend their life? Is there enough oversight on these?
The short answer is probably not, but we don't really know. At least not the part of the testing process that the FDA puts devices through, new devices like defibrillators and pacemakers and artificial heart valves. The FDA puts these devices through a series of tests before they're allowed to be implanted in patients. And the first part of that testing is done in a non-clinical laboratory, a laboratory that does not have patients in which the devices are tested. And that part of the testing is in question.
And so do you have any evidence that there's been harm as a result of that decision?
That's the first thing everyone asks. And we at the Project on Government Oversight, which is where I work, do not have any direct evidence that defective devices, devices that have not been tested adequately, are actually harming patients. However, workers on the inside of the FDA who bear a responsibility for making sure that the devices are safe, these scientists are unsure that the devices are safe. In fact, they feel, many of them, that they're unsafe.
And which particular class of devices does this apply to?
We focused our attention on life-saving devices, just like the ones that you talked about at the beginning, the pacemakers, the artificial heart valves, cardiac stents, internal defibrillators. And those are the devices that put patients' lives at risk immediately if there's a fault in the device, a failure of the device. And that's why we focused on them.
And so the concern about the testing process is that it's not sufficient enough, that there isn't enough advanced testing in order to verify the safety?
That's close. The part of the FDA that's responsible for devices conducted inspections of the lab facilities for many years. They would send a skilled inspector around to the lab facility. He would look over the records, look at the equipment, check the animals to make sure that they were being cared for properly, talk to the people who were doing the testing to make sure that they knew what they were doing. And at the end of that inspection, which might take a day or several days, he would see whether the device, whether the laboratory was meeting the standards that the government sets, was meeting a regulation that sets standards for laboratories. If the lab did meet those standards, then the device would move on to the next stage, which would be testing in people in a clinical trial. But if the lab did not meet the standards, then a hold would be put on the work coming from that laboratory. Well, these inspections were carried on for many years, but two or three years ago, the people at the top of the devices section out at the FDA decided that the inspections would be discontinued. That upset the scientists lower down in the devices center. They tried to reverse that decision but were unable to do so. So the inspections stopped, and now we rely on the self-policing by the manufacturers, self-policing by the people running the labs to make sure that the devices are safe. And that is why the scientists out at the FDA feel that these devices are not being adequately tested and are likely to be unsafe.
We're talking this morning to Dr. Ned Fader. He's a staff scientist at the Project on Government Oversight, and he's also a former scientist at the National Institutes of Health.
And, of course, short of reinstating that rule and starting up again with the FDA inspections, don't the manufacturers of these devices have economic incentive to make them as safe as possible just because the lawsuits are so relentless?
The economic incentives run in two directions. One you've just mentioned, that they are concerned about lawsuits, although that particular objection has been neutralized by a Supreme Court ruling about a year ago that says that patients who are injured by defective devices may not sue the manufacturer in state court. Now, that particular ruling is there's a good chance it'll be reversed by legislation. Members of Congress are not pleased by this ruling, which takes away the ability to sue, because that does protect patients and it does bring out problems with the regulatory process at the FDA. But at the moment, it's very difficult to sue. However, there is an incentive for manufacturers in the other direction. If they can speed up their testing process in these labs that used to be inspected, that means they can get a device on the market more quickly, and that's to their financial advantage. So even when lawsuits were possible, there were pushes and pulls in both directions.
And so is it your contention that the lawsuits served as a sort of a, you know, a public awareness issue, you know, a measure?
Yes, that's right. That's one of the ways, maybe the one of the main ways, that problems in manufacturing devices, testing them in patients, all of the steps that are used to ensure the safety of a device, that's lawsuits were one of the very effective ways of ensuring the safety of devices.
And just a devil's advocate question, and suppose we go back to this inspection by FDA, and
yes,
there are lawsuits allowed, and a company makes a million devices, and they're really good, and 99.99% of them are good, but one component and one device is bad, and one fails. Is that really something that can be eliminated from humanity? The fact that sometimes things just go wrong because they just do.
Not at all. When you've got a million devices out in patients, particularly devices like defibrillators and so on, when you've got a million devices, no matter how much testing you do in advance, it's bound to happen that some of them will fail, no matter what precautions you take. But the question is whether before it was released for the market, the device was tested so as to make it as reasonably safe as possible. And that's the aim. You can't make these devices completely safe, but they should be made as safe as possible.
But does that mean that it would slow down the process of getting new material out there, new devices out there?
Yes, that's right. That's one of the arguments against putting too much emphasis on the testing process, whether you're talking about testing in the laboratory, testing in clinical trials, or inspecting manufacturers to make sure that the devices are being made well. That's one of the arguments. If you press on them too hard, put too much time into it, then it delays the time that devices come on the market, and patients who need these devices don't get them as soon as they otherwise would.
And so that's a legitimate concern.
That's a legitimate concern. It's always a balance between regulating the right amount or regulating too much. And, of course, that's a hot topic these days with our economy. And the same thing applies to the regulation of medical devices.